This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Are you there, Sam?
Yep, hang on, I'm just turning that on.
Is our guest ready?
Yep, I've got the music ready.
Can you hear me okay?
Yep, sounds great.
Cool. Otago Access Radio, in partnership with Otago Polytechnic, brings you Blowing Bubbles.
Blowing Bubbles brings you positive conversations with people in their bubbles around the world.
We're curious about how people are finding new ways of life, being and problem solving. Every Wednesday, the Sustainable Lens team of Samuel Mann and Mawira Karatai reach out from our bubbles to chat with interesting and positive people around the world.
Broadcast on Otago Access Radio, 105.4 FM in Dunedin, and streamed and podcast on oar.org.nz.
Bringing joy, connection, kindness and peace in all the days ahead.
Welcome to Blowing Bubbles, positive conversations with people in their bubbles, their safe spaces around the world. I'm Samuel Mann in Otago, Dunedin, and I'm joined from still in Otutahi, Christchurch, Mawira Karatai. Kia ora, Mawira.
Kia ora, Sam. How's it going?
It's going very well indeed. Now, we are recording this in the middle of October, hottest day of the year.
27 degrees when I arrived in Christchurch today. I could not believe it. It was 10 degrees hotter here than it was in Tauranga when I left this morning.
You people in the Bay of Plenty think you've got something special, but we know more.
Oh, okay, let's just give a reality check to that, Sam. On Wednesday, it's going to be a high of 12 degrees.
So, we are recording this in October. This will get broadcast in January. What are you hoping is going to happen by January?
Well, I hope that the Bay of Plenty Regional Council has got some policies that are way more environmentally focused.
Oh, what has to happen to make that happen?
Well, I have to get to work.
Indeed. Meanwhile, who are we introducing today?
It is my absolute great pleasure to introduce Greer Chin. Greer, thank you very much for joining us today. It is wonderful to have you with us.
Me too. It's so great to meet you guys here.
Greer, where did you grow up?
I grew up in China, Harbin, and it's the northern part of China. It's very cold and it's closer to Russia.
Is it a place that I've ever heard of? No. You're going to have to tell me more about it.
When it's winter, it's also called Ice City.
Okay.
Or Little Paris, yeah.
And what was it like growing up there?
The architecture of here is very Russia, and the local people is very welcomed and hospital. Yeah.
And what did you want to be?
Sorry.
What did you want to be when you grew up?
I haven't thought that yet, because I just focus on right now. I want to finish my study as quickly as possible, so I can find a job.
Yeah, but when you're a small child, what did you want to be?
Maybe I want to be a teacher to teach little kindergarten students to learn something more.
And you're doing a master's now. Well, what did you do for your undergraduate degree?
My undergraduate degree is construction.
Construction? What led you
to
that?
Yeah, and I study in the Massey University in the Auckland. And maybe the society and the environment become more and more important, so people will pay more attention to that. So that's the reason why I think I need to think deep about those sustainable aspects of this.
Was the environment important to you as a child?
Yeah, because I kind of have some relation with my mom. My mom is working for the environmental department in China, so this gave me a lot of impact.
Let's go to the first of your music choices. Let's have Snappy, Snappy. Why this one?
Of course, I've been learning the Germany recently and heard that song is very interesting.
Schnappi, das kleine Krokodil. Komm aus Ägypten, das liegt direkt an mir.
When we are successful, as you are successful, we always have people who inspire us and lift us up. Who have been the inspirations in your life?
Oh, so, oh, that's a so long the sentence for me. Maybe the inspiration person for me is my teacher and my family. Yeah, because all the teacher I meet is very helpful and make me broaden my horizon. And I want to explore this world more. And my family is very supportive for me. So this is why I'm here right now.
And we're
Yeah.
glad you're here right now.
Oh, thank you so much.
When you go into the next stage in your life and you've finished your master's degree and you move into your professional life, what will you take from them and their inspiration into your practice?
Maybe I got that professional level. I think I would learn from them is the honest and integrity and the love that's the character I really like to learn from them.
Honesty, integrity, and love, those are things that I have observed about you in our classroom. That's how you are with your fellow students. And how do you see those being shown in a professional context when you move into your work? How will you show those things?
Maybe I will provide the necessary help if they need in the team. Yeah, I will give them what I have or what I can have for them. Yeah.
Beautiful. Would you tell us about the person that you interviewed and why you chose them?
That person I interviewed is an old friend of mine. I know her when I was doing my bachelor degree in Auckland. And she really liked playing badminton, so I played badminton with her a lot. I know her because I was doing my part-time job in a small construction company, and she's a subcontractor in this project. So I got her contact number, and during this podcast, I contacted her again, but she really liked to tell me more about those aspects. Yeah, I really appreciate her help.
Awesome. Let's listen to your interview now.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, Kara, my name is Chen Qin. I'm a postgraduate student in sustainable business at the University of Otago. And in this podcast, I will be exploring one of the most pressing issues in today's property market, green buildings and ESG. Over the next 20 minutes, I will share insights from the latest academic research, looking at recent real-world projects in London and bring in the perspective of a New Zealand business leader. Together, we will see how environmental, social, and governance factors are reshaping real estate, not just globally, but right here at home. So let's begin with academic evidence. Kadri and Electrodes 2010 said the real estate sector offers a unique case for studying the financial impact of ESG factors due to its tangible assets and the direct influence of ESG initiatives on property values and operational costs. Sustainable building practice, for instance, can reduce utility expenses and enhance marketability, directly influencing firm valuation. A 2025 paper by Herr Mackenhart and Drew asks a big question. Do ESG practice real pay off for real estate companies? The author's exam publicity lists the real estate firms in 38 countries between 2015 and 2021. They measure two main things, market performance using 2BSQ, which essentially tells us how the market values the firm, and financial performance, looking at profitability and risk. Here's what they found. Companies they align with ESG standards perform better overall. They have stronger marketing valuations, they manage risk more efficiently, and they even reduce their cost of capital. That means investors view them as safer, more efficient, and more future-proof. But on the other hand, because they're always a but, this study also shows that adopting ESG isn't free of challenges. Firms often face higher general and administrative costs, and sometimes even short-term drops in net operating income. In other words, sustainability can be expensive sometimes. Digging a little bit deeper, the study reveals some interesting subtle differences. The environmental and social dimensions both drive better performance. Through the environmental side, doesn't really reduce systematic risk. Governance, the G in ESG, didn't directly boost market value, but it did strengthen internal risk management processes. So while good governance might not make share prices jump overnight, it helps companies avoid costly mistakes in the long run. Another layer is context. The impacts of ESG varied depending on whether companies were in developed or emerging markets. In developed economies, ESG alignment tends to be rewarded more strongly by investors and stakeholders. In emerging economies, the benefits are there, but less pronounced. ESG isn't just a post-bosk picking exercise for real estate firms. It's becoming part of the core business model, shaping how investors judge them, how capital flows, and ultimately how they compete in the global market. That's the theory, but how does it look like in the practice in the real world to see ESG principles in action? Let's jump from the spare sheets of global real estate companies to the streets of London, where one building in particular is rewriting the rules of office design. In the early 2025, London achieved one of the most ambitious building paradise SE 11. From the outside, it might look like a new workplace, but this really story lies in the material. It's built from timber. Paradise S11 has been called the UK's most sustainable office. By using energy, timber instead of steel and concrete, the project saved around 1,800 tons of carbon emissions, the equivalent of building 24 average homes. And here's the kicker. The building can be fully dismantled and recycled at the end of its life. But the environmental benefits are only one part of the story. In fact, the use of exposed timber creates a warm, climbing atmosphere. This shows the wood has acoustic and psychological benefits. It reduces noise and fosters new buildings. So the ice in ESG social impact, it's literally building in the walls. Of course, it wasn't all smooth sailing. Timber buildings raise unique challenges, especially around the influence. In that case, the biggest risk wasn't fair, as many people might expect. It was water damage. To handle that, so the governance decides how risk was managed, regulated, and insured was a critical part of making Paradise SE11 possible. From an ESG lens, this project is a fascinating case. Environmental, it slashed emissions. Socially, it improves workplace well-being. And in terms of governance, it highlights the need for innovation in regulation and insurance to keep up with the sustainable design. It also proves something that the HAIR and extra researcher site point out that, yes, sustainable projects can carry short-term costs and obstacles, but also create long-term value. Tenants are increasingly looking for offices that align with their sustainable goals. Investors see buildings like this as a low-risk asset for the future, and developers who can deliver these projects are presenting themselves at the cutting edge of the market. So we've seen the evidence from research, and we've looked at one of the most examples of ESG-driven design in Europe. But how does this global conversation connect to us here in New Zealand? To find out, I've spoken with a local manager who shared how ESG and green building practices are all out, shaping the reality of business in our part of the world.
So, what's your happy place?
My happy place is definitely the badminton court. Playing with friends after work gives me energy and joy. It's not just about winning or losing. It's the laughter, the teamwork, and the feeling of pushing myself. For me, it's a reminder that happiness often comes from simple experiences and good company, not from consuming more. In a way, that's also linked to sustainability, living well without excess.
Awesome. So can you tell me how did you get to where you are today?
I actually started out working at MITRE 10 in the trade department as a trade support. That was my first real step into the building industry. and it gave me a good foundation in understanding products, suppliers, and what traders need day to day. Later, I set up a small company with my family, doing waterproofing, tiling, carpet, and other flooring installations. Over the time, I moved more into project management, coordinating jobs, dealing with clients, and learning their business side as well as the technical side. Playing badminton also helped me. It taught me this sampling and teamwork, which are skills I use every day in business too.
You really like badminton. So tell me about the moment in your life that led you with sustainability, and how have you changed since then?
Right. One turning point was after a heavy rainstorm. A site flooded because the drainage hadn't been planned properly. It damaged not only the project, but also affected the neighbors. That's really hit me. Sustainability isn't just about green labels. It's about responsibility. Since then, my view has shifted. It's not just an actor. It's part of doing the job properly. And even in daily life, I try to think the same way. For example, sometimes I carpool with friends to the badminton courts. It's healthier, saves money, and reduces emissions.
So it's a nice question. Could you tell me what small, simple thing people can do to in order to live more sustainability?
I'd say start small and practical. For me, it's about reusing and making things last. When I play badminton, I always collect old shuttles that's still reusable, and I use them for warm-up. It reduces waste and makes the new shuttles last longer. I also prefer to buy durable gear instead of cheap equipment that breaks quickly. Sustainability doesn't have to mean big investment. It can start with everyday habits like that.
Okay, so the last question, studies that shows ESG has a bigger impact in developed markets than emerging ones. Where do you think New Zealand sits on that situation?
To be honest, in our small installation company, we don't really feel ESG as a direct influence. Most of our clients focus more on price, timing, and quality. But in the wider industry, especially for bigger developments, ESG is becoming more of a factor. Things like energy efficiency, resilience, or council requirements. So while we don't feel it strongly day to day, I can see it's growing in importance.
Have you clients or stakeholders asked specifically about environmental or social features in recent your project?
In our projects, not really. Most clients just want the job done well and on budget. I haven't had clients asking directly about environmental or social features. But I know in bigger projects, it's already happening. People are asking for sustainable flooring, low emission materials, and designs that are more community friendly. But for small business like us, it hasn't reached us yet, but I think it will in the future as demand grows.
Awesome. Thank you. To bring this closer to the end, I spoke with one of local business leaders
who wishes to remain anonymous, about her views on sustainability. For her, sustainability isn't something abstract. It's already part of her daily life. She mentioned something as simple as how she goes to play badminton instead of driving every time. She looks for ways to make small, sustainable choices in her routine. That may sound minor, but it reflects an important shift. Sustainability is no longer just about big corporate strategies. It's also about everyday habits that add up over time. When we turned to the construction sector, she highlighted that the big companies are already making visit efforts. Companies are increasingly conscious about sourcing and selecting materials that reduce environmental impact, whether it's lower carbon concrete, recycled products, or even experimenting with alternatives. Like chamber sustainability is starting to influence the design and supply chain in construction. Her perspective was refreshingly straightforward. She wasn't talking about complicated financial metrics or ESG frameworks. Instead, she reminded me that sustainability is both globally and local, both big picture and personal. On one hand, we see massive projects like London's Paradise SE11, proving that buildings can be designed from the ground up to deliver environmental and social benefits. On the other hand, we also see individuals like her making conscious choices in their daily lives. As New Zealand business taking steady steps towards greener practices. And perhaps that's the real lesson here. Sustainability in real estate isn't just about cutting-edge projects and corporate reports. It's also about everyday decisions by individuals, by companies, and by communities that together shift the market and create a movement for change. Thank you for listening. I'm Zhen Qin and hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.
That was a really interesting interview, and I like that. It was an incredibly positive perspective. What was your most important thing that you learned from it?
I learned in New Zealand, maybe green buildings is not too far from here, but in the other world, like in the UK, they already have such green buildings like this office. And in China, maybe they already have some policies to support those kind of projects. And they have already begin some companies' rules and maybe some funds to it. Yeah.
Is that somewhere that you see yourself going? Are you going into that industry?
I will, but this industry is too hard to be here because it's very difficult to find a job.
And is it difficult to find a job because it hasn't advanced enough yet? When it becomes more normal, will it be easier to find a job?
Maybe. This is why we need to learn such knowledge here.
How do we make that happen? How do we progress into being ready for that to be our normal? All buildings are green buildings.
Maybe we need to put more commercial advert to it, and maybe combine some new technology like AI or AR to put the every corner we can see it, and to make the people realize that, oh, this is a modern, and this is the very popular right now. We need to do it together, like to work there, concept about it.
Well, I like the way you're thinking. And is that your aspiration?
My exploration is future generation will have the green, beautiful future. Then they won't have some like CO2 in every road we can to in our lung.
I absolutely, totally agree with you.
Let's take the second of your music choices, the Young Rising Suns with Turning. Why this one?
Oh, because there's a very positive energy in this song. I just listened to it yesterday and bring more so much energy, make my day very beautiful.
If you've been just staring at the sunrise above this hollow town, been chasing empty memories, the kind that's keeping you down. Can't seem to find your stride, just trying to live your life. Been feeling suffocated, searching for vindication. This sense of indecision ain't what we had in mind. The dream that I envision, I am still hoping to find. You ain't done nothing wrong, but we ain't done nothing right. I know that something's missing, but the world will keep on turning, turning. You gotta keep that fire burning, burning. I know you think you're turning around, chasing these empty verses. Some roads have crooked signs. We're losing all this daylight, but soon the moon's gonna rise. These final puzzle pieces, we tried, but they're too tight. But if we ease the pressure, I bet they'll fit just right. Sometimes it takes some patience, sometimes it works first try. But I know that this is worth it, cause this dream's too strong to die. I ain't done nothing wrong, but we ain't done nothing right. One day we'll find what's missing, but the world will keep on turning, turning. You gotta keep that fire burning, burning. I know you think you're just go and live your life. I'm feeling vindicated. The world will keep on turning, turning. You better keep that fire burning, burning. I know you think you're in a hurry. There's no need to worry, cause I can feel it turning, turning. Our luck is turning around.
If I was the job wish lady and I could magic you the perfect job, what is your perfect dream job?
That's very interesting. I want to be the person who helps a prisoner. Yeah. Like the prisoner always can control the whole thought about the rules or something, but I want to be the person who helps him.
Well, so making
Yeah.
policy, helping to make good decisions. In which area? In which area? In or in everything, or just in a particular area?
Maybe in the particular area is in sustainable sustainability.
That is an important job indeed.
Yeah. Because it's very important now, I think. People are more and more to know it and focus it too much. It's a trend in the future, I think.
I think so too. And I think that when there's people like you who have committed your life to that you will inspire all of the young ones coming up behind you.
Yes.
Is that something that you would like to do? Be an inspiration to younger people?
Yes, absolutely.
How would you do that?
Maybe just like this form like we are doing now. Yeah, you guys making such a good podcast for people to listen when they driving a car to their home. Maybe they can talk to their family or friends about the podcast, and then they can get to know more and more by people. So people will realize, oh, they can get some new knowledge or new exploration from it. That's a
Yeah.
kind of a new form, I think.
I think so too. And actually, remember, it's your podcast.
Oh,
Well,
yeah. Thank you.
Greer, I have some questions to end the show. What is the biggest success that you've had in the last 2 or 3 years?
For me, I think 2 or 3 years, the biggest success is overcome my language barrier to be in New Zealand and exploring more and knew the international friends, and I got to know the international knowledge and learn something new, except I can learn from in my hometown.
What is the number one thing that you're going to be taking back with you?
The number one thing maybe is people here is very kindly and friendly, and they don't mind each other to know more about him. Yeah, like they are very generous about whatever in the knowledge or in the life.
And going the other way, what is the number one thing that people in New Zealand could learn from, perhaps from China or your hometown's approach to sustainability?
Maybe it's technology speed. Like in China, we have already have so much electricity car in the road, and I only can see just a few cars in the Dunedin. Maybe they can learn something new from China.
Indeed, we can. We're writing a book about these conversations. It's called Tomorrow's Heroes. So, what is your superpower?
My superpower is courage. I don't afraid to take any risk to my life. I always embrace new opportunities in my daily life.
Do you consider yourself to be an activist?
No, it depends on the situation.
Yeah. What motivates you? What gets you out of bed in the morning?
The breakfast.
So what is the biggest challenge or opportunity that you're looking forward to in the next year or so?
The biggest challenge maybe is looking for the job. Neither here or in my hometown.
And lastly, do you have any advice for our listeners?
My advice is just be curious about everything. You'll never know what's going to happen.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Moira, I'm curious what you're going to say now.
That is the thing that I would say to absolutely everyone as well. Be curious. Be perpetually curious. Be so curious that you can't stop being curious, and find out everything you can. And Greta, it has been a pleasure to have you and your curiosity in our class. Thank you for the contribution that you've made, for being such a wonderful human being. And it has been such a joy. And thanks for choosing the University of Otago to come and do your study. We've really enjoyed having you in the class this semester. And thanks for joining us today. Kia ora.
Thank you, Mavira. It's also my pleasure to meet you and Sam. That's a very new form for me to learn. It's very interesting. Thank you for bringing me.
I couldn't find a song about that was explicitly about green building to go out to, so instead we're just going to go out to the House Martins.
So fast, it makes you sick. It's bad.
With people in their bubbles, their safe spaces around the world. Brought to you by the Sustainable Lens team, who are brought to you by Otago Polytechnic and the University of Otago. We are broadcast on Otago Access Radio every Wednesday afternoon at 3 and streamed and podcast on oar.org.nz. Greer Chen brought her episode of Coming Up for Air, talking about green buildings. With Moira Karatai, I'm Samuel Mann. That was Blowing Bubbles. We hope you enjoyed the show.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.